chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. You guys are a blessing. Amen? Amen. Children, don't take them for granted. My mom's in heaven. So make sure you appreciate yours while they're on earth. Amen? Amen. Deuteronomy 8. 1 through, well, I'm not going to tell you, okay? Here we go. It's short, kind of. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in to possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, say wilderness, to humble you and test you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowing you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's pretty important because Jesus repeated that in Matthew chapter 4. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your hearts that as a man chastens his son or corrects his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear or reverence him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. Ooh, life's full of valleys and hills, isn't it? A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware, say beware, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses, and dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. That is a powerful chapter of the Word of God. Amen? I want to break it down for you today. There are 7 commands in Deuteronomy 8 that I want to talk about and break down for you and kind of give you some points that the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you. The title of this message is this, The Blessing of Obedience. The Blessing of Obedience. The definition of the word obedience is this, compliance with an order, a request, law, or submission to another's authority. There are blessings attached to submitting to God's authority over our life in his commands. Amen? And how many of you know there are curses attached to disobedience? That's why God constantly warns us in the Word of God to obey him, to be obedient to his voice, obedient to his word. Amen? And all that is this. It's not necessarily that God's doing this to you, but it's the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Say sowing and reaping. There are so many powerful points to talk about in just this one chapter, but I'm going to branch out a little bit here, which you'll see in a moment. But let's get this thing started. The first point that I want to talk about is in verse 1. He said, be careful. Say, be careful. To observe all the commandments. Now, the reason that God said that is also, the answer to that is in this verse also. Why? Just so God can be hard on us? Just so he can wait and for us to mess up? No. Here's why he tells us to do it. Are you ready? That you may live and multiply and possess the promises of God in your life. God is a good God. He is not a child abuser. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. When the Word of God talks about possessing the promised land in the Old Covenant, that is the equivalent of us possessing all the promises of God in the New Covenant through Jesus. Are you getting it? So when you read in the Old Testament about the promised land and occupying it and taking it, just convert that to all the promises in the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go with me to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 13. And this is a powerful verse here. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Why? So the blessing of Abraham can come upon us. Now, many of you, when you hear that, and I thought this in the past too, is like, blessing of Abraham? Wait a minute, we got Jesus here, right? Oh no, the blessing of Abraham is ours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you got to understand. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are blessed and we have received the Holy Spirit to walk in obedience to God. Is that a fair statement? So listen to this. So faith in Jesus does not excuse us from walking in obedience to the Word. In fact, that faith in Jesus should motivate you to walk in obedience with the Word. Now, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, man. When you make Jesus Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes in and he regenerates your spirit. There's a nice theological word, right? He regenerates you. You know what that is? You get born again. That sin nature's kicked out. That spiritual sin nature is kicked out and the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Now, I like to say it this way. Now you're bent toward obeying God, not bent toward rebellion. Are you getting it? But we have to renew our minds. We have to renew our minds because your mind can take you in a direction of the fleshly desires, which is disobedience to God. So, in other words, this is what I'm trying to say. You can't say the sinner's prayer and go live like the devil. Is that a fair statement? All right. God still expects us to walk in obedience to his word. And he's made it really easy on us because he's given us the Holy Spirit and the power. He's equipped us to do it. So what is the blessing of Abraham then? If we're blessed with that, we better know a little thing about that, right? If the blessing of Abraham belongs to us, we need to know something. The blessing of Abraham, by the way, covers every area of our life. Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly. He didn't get rid of it. He fulfilled it. Say fulfilled. He fulfilled it so that faith through him, we can stay in the pipeline of that blessing of Abraham in our life. Now go with me to Genesis 12. Let me show you something. Genesis 12. 1 through 3 here. The blessing of Abraham. We know it belongs to us because Galatians 3:13 says it does, and that's in the New Testament, right? Now, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, look at this. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, God changed his name to Abraham later on down the road. But for the sake of this, I'm just going to call him Abraham, all right? Now, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Say blessed. Blessed. Now, so God told Abraham, I like pulling this point out. God told Abraham, I'm just going to say, to leave his familiar surroundings because God had more for him. Amen? This is going to minister to someone. Someone, this is going to click in your spirit. If Abraham would have stayed where he was at, that blessing would have not been experienced by him. Abraham had to obey the command to leave his familiar surroundings to take hold of the blessing. Now, so God told Abraham to leave his father's house. Are you ready for this? Without even telling him the destination. Right? He said, go. Abraham, just go, and then I will show you. God likes to do that sometimes. It's like he gives us just one little step, and we're like, no, 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 God, we need the whole picture. We need all the directions and instructions before I take that first step. God says, take that first step, and more will come. The destination didn't get revealed until Abraham obeyed the first step, that he left his comfort zone by faith. That's why the word says we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? So God told Abraham this. He said, I will make you a great nation. He would bless him and make his name great. And God was basically telling him this. If you want to just break it down, this is what God was telling Abraham. My favor is going to be saturating every area of your life. Now listen to this. The word bless is defined as this: to confer or to invoke divine favor upon. Now the word curse is this: a solemn utterance or to invoke supernatural power to inflict harm or punishment on someone or something. In a biblical sense, what it's talking about here, you can just say it this way. To be blessed means God's favor is on you. To be cursed means his favor is lifted off of your life. And I'll tell you right now, you know the difference. Hello? Well, how do I know if I'm blessed? You'll know. How do I know if I'm cursed? You'll know. Wake up. Amen? So, I don't know about you, but I need all the favor upon my life, amen, that I can get. So God told Abraham, listen to this. He said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Listen to this. That is a promise of divine protection. God is basically saying this, I got your back. Isn't that good to know? How many of you want God to have your back in this life? We gotta have the favor of God upon our lives. Amen? Now, here's what I want to break down to you. When we hear that phrase, I will bless those that bless you, curse those who curse you. How many of you know? Listen to me. When we hear that, the only thing we think of that in connection to are the Jewish people. Hello? The Holy Spirit said, no. It's for Christians too, because you're in the same pipeline of the blessing of Abraham. In other words, God has our back as Christians. Amen? Why? Because the word says that we've been engrafted into that blessing through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are plugged into that blessing. Amen? That's why you don't have to pay someone back for an evil done to you. That's why God says, walk in forgiveness. Bless your enemies. Are you following me? Don't you dare take it upon yourself, because I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Your only job is to maintain a pure heart. before you and God. That's your job. You're not the judge, sheriff, and police. Hello, somebody. This is not a spiritual Andy Griffith show. Amen? No. God says, you keep your heart right. Don't you dare cross over to the other side, because then that curse is going to come upon you, and my favor gets lifted off of your life. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. Oh, we're going to go deeper here. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 34. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he took, or when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27. Therefore, say therefore. That means he's expounding on a few things here. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That means dead. Hello, somebody. This is the New Testament I'm reading out of, by the way. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Now, this passage talks about the taking of communion. All right? And there's two warnings that the Lord gives us here. Ready? Taking communion in an unworthy manner and not discerning the Lord's body. Did you catch that? Those two warnings are given to us as Christians. This is what we need to know. This is talking to the Christians, not the unbeliever, right? Because an unbeliever has no part of the new covenant until they make Jesus Lord of their life. You get it? Listen to this. Taking communion in an unworthy manner means to take it with unconfessed sin in your heart and life. One of the greatest sins of the heart is holding bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred in your heart. And listen to this. Not discerning the Lord's body is talking about those attitudes and negative emotions and sins of the heart within the body of Christ. This is what the Holy Ghost said. Are you ready? Causing division in the body of Christ. Or in other words, not walking in love toward our fellow believers. Listen to this. In other words, I want to break it down even more. This passage is saying this. What you do unto another person in the body of Christ, this is what he really wants to drag home. You're doing it to Jesus Christ himself. You're doing it to Jesus Christ. You are doing it unto Jesus himself, because that person, that Christian, is a part of the body of Christ. That person is an extension of Jesus on this earth. Are you getting it? Not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning that you're holding this hatred, you're causing this division against Jesus Christ himself. That's powerful. What a wake-up call. How easy is it even for me to forget that? Because we just start to look at people as people. Oh, my goodness, they're annoying. Right? No, they're an extension of Jesus' body. How, now, what's some scriptural evidence of that? Listen to this. On the road to Damascus, when Jesus appeared to Saul, he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul, you coming against those Christians, you're killing those Christians. Saul, why are you doing this to me? My goodness. According to Proverbs 6:19, one of the things that God hates, and that's an abomination to him, this is why he says it, brethren that sow discord or division in the body of Christ. Listen to this. So we need to always keep this in mind in the body of Christ, that we got to keep this in mind, that every person is precious to God. Amen? Every person is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to walk in love. We are expected to walk in love. Now, I want you to notice that it didn't say this. Are you ready? It didn't say this, that God hates those that sow discord in the world. It didn't say that. But what did God point out? Those who sow discord among brethren in the body of Christ. Here's why. One of the proofs that the world should know, that should be evidence that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Are you ready for this? Our love for one another. No. Not how much you come up to the altar and get on your knees during praise and worship. No. Our love for each other. We should be having a love fest among each other. Are you following me? Christians that fail to discern or understand that fact are bringing judgment upon themselves, because here's why. It's causing a division and giving place to the kingdom of darkness in two places, in their own life and within the body of Christ. It's affecting others. Here's what God said. It's sowing disorder. It's taking or breaking. Are you ready? God's divine order. That's why your faith won't even work if you're not walking in love. Are you following me? This love thing's pretty important. If we want a move of God, we better start walking in love toward each other. If we want a move of God, we better put other people ahead of ourselves. Are you following me? Listen, it said, this is a tough one here to talk about. Many people don't want to even touch this thing. Many are weak and sick and even die before their time in the body of Christ, because that fleshly mindedness, it put them in the spiritual danger zone. Hello? Or outside of the blessing or safety zone. Again, it's not that God's doing it. That person's putting themselves in harm's way. You're breaking down that wall of protection in your life, and you're giving the enemy, you're giving the serpents a chance to come in and bite you. Are you getting it? And really, those people have made themselves an enemy of God themselves, right? Now, listen to this. Those negative emotions are being used by demons, listen, to affect their physical body. And can even lead to that, like I said, to premature death in some cases. Only God knows when someone's crossed that line. Are you following me? But here's my advice. Just get your heart right as soon as possible. Are you following me? Listen to this. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 7:17, it says, do not be overly wicked or foolish. It says this. Are you ready? Why should you die before your time? That tells me this. Everybody has a time. It also tells me this. You can die and pass away before that time. Oh, come on, somebody. You can shorten or you can lengthen your life. Come on, amen? What's God's time? A full and abundant life, amen? Hallelujah. Oh, come on. This is why the Word of God, again, tells us to examine and judge ourselves, be honest with ourselves about the negative things in our life, about the sin in our life, all right? In other words, do this. Ready? judge yourself, repent, make it right, and you will avoid divine judgment. Amen. Judge yourself. Say, I got to judge myself. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody that sins, you're going to die right on the spot. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, the word says this is a possibility. I want to eradicate that a possibility in my life. Are you getting it? I'm kind of having fun in life a little bit, right? I want to enjoy my family more. Amen. I want to enjoy you guys. I want to enjoy preaching the word. Amen. Everyone's always, I hear people say, oh, I can't, I got to go to heaven now. Oh, just go. I'm like, would you just enjoy where you're at right now? Yeah. Calm down. We'll get there some. We're going to get there one day. Just don't rush it yet. Come on, right? Now, so observe to do all the commandments of God, and that includes walking in forgiveness and love toward each other in the body of Christ. The second point in Deuteronomy 8 is this, is to remember that the Lord your God led you through the wilderness. Now, the wilderness journey of your life, it's a place of testing. It's a place of humbling. It's a place of training. It's a place of equipping. But here's the one thing. It's not a place of fun in your life. The wilderness can be a very, that's kind of like in your life where you're like, God, what are you doing? Where you feel out of place. You feel like, you know, you just, you're feeling that unfulfillment in your life. Anybody ever been there before? I visited the wilderness quite a bit in my life, actually. But, so in other words, God is telling us this. This is what he's saying. He's saying, do not forget the lessons that he was trying to teach you in the wilderness journeys of your life. See, there are things that we can learn in every season of our life. Did you know that? You can learn something from every season. We can learn from what we did right, and we can learn from what we did wrong. Amen? And both are good teachers, aren't they? All right? While we're talking about remembering the things of God in your life, I want to show you a passage real quick. Go to Psalm 103. I want to show you something here. Psalm 103. Remember, look back at the lessons. Look back at that time when you felt like you were just in a wilderness and you thought God abandoned you. But no, no, no. He was training you. He was equipping you. He was strengthening you for your next level. Amen? How many want to go to the next level? Then learn the lesson. Amen? Psalm, or I should say lessons. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals some of your diseases. What? Oh, yeah. He heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So there is a blessing in obedience to the command of not forgetting all of his benefits. Amen? That is saying, if you want to be a partaker of these things, if you want to draw strength from these things in your life, you got to keep them in your remembrance. Have you ever been going through something and you forgot the promises of God? In other words, you weren't even thinking about it. You were too focused on that trial you were going through. Well, if you're going to draw strength from the promises of God, you got to keep them in your thought life. Amen? If you forget about them in the time of need, you're not going to be a partaker of them. So keep them fresh on the inside. So don't forget the benefits, because the human temptation is to focus on the negative thing. And you actually, so by default, say default. By default, we focus on the negative, right? But you actually have to put an effort in to focus on the positive, on the word. Amen? That's why I preach that one message, on purpose Christianity. You don't live the Christian life by accident. It's on purpose. Amen? Now, go with me to Deuteronomy 8, back to Deuteronomy 8. You getting anything out of this? Oh, we got more. Hold on. Now, Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 6 says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens or corrects you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." Now, I want to bring out 2 points right here, okay, point 3 and 4 here, because I'm going to bring up an account that ties them both together. The third point was that we are commanded to know in our heart that as a man chastens or corrects a son, a child, so the Lord chastens his people, all right? Number 4 is to keep God's commandments and walk in his ways and to fear him, reverence him. So I'm combining that for a reason. Here's the deal. God tests us to reveal what's in our hearts. Are you following me? Listen, God's not going to put something on you that Jesus redeemed you from. Sickness, disease, and so get that out of your head right now. The devil wants you to think that. Okay? God can chasten or correct you without the junk of the curse of the law. Are you following me? All right, so God does test us to reveal what's in our heart. He may hold off on advancing someone just to see how they'll respond. Has that ever happened to you at a job maybe or something? You're like, man, I've done all this for the company. I'm the one coming in early, staying late. I'm doing all of this, and I should get that promotion, not that other person. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Just hang in there. This is a test. God is preparing you for something bigger. Amen? So listen to this. Here's what you got to see here. Is if God, you got to understand this here. If God spots pride in our heart, he will eventually cause something to happen that puts a spotlight on that pride. Oh, he will. Oh, he's merciless when it comes to that. But he's doing it for our own good. Because pride comes before a fall. God is saying, listen, I know this is uncomfortable, but I got to put the spotlight on it. Because James, you got to deal with this right now or it's going to bring destruction in your life. Are you following me? His desire is this, not to make your life miserable. Here's his desire. His desire is simply this. That you will recognize it, humble yourself, and repent of it. That's all. Guess what? When we do those 3 things, game over. We can move on with life. But we go around this mountain for 40 years because we don't like what we've seen when that spotlight was shined on our pride. So we harden our heart. We rebel. And God's saying, you ain't getting it yet. Go around again. No, you're not getting it. Give that other person the promotion. Go around the mountain again. You know, one thing I found about God is this. He has no problem with giving retests. He has no problem with it. But here's the deal. We need to break that cycle and learn our lesson. We need to learn our lesson. That's what God's just waiting for. Please recognize what I'm trying to show you. Just recognize it. Repent. And we can move on with your life. You can move on into my blessing. Amen? Pride, listen to this. Pride will cause you to override the will of God in your life and drive you to fulfill your own will. It's a heart of rebellion against the word of God, what it really was. And what the account I want to bring up here is powerful. King Saul learned this lesson the hard way, all right? Now, King Saul was anointed as king over Israel. God gave him a mission, listen to me, with very precise instructions. He said, when you go into this certain city, you need to destroy everything. Everything. Guess what? He did not fully obey the commandment of God. He decided to keep the best sheep, and he didn't kill the evil king or leader of that city. He, listen to this. This is what he did. This is the downfall right here. Are you ready? He took it upon himself to make changes to what God told him to do. He took it upon himself. He told the prophet Samuel that he saved the best sheep. You know what his reason was? Are you ready for this? You see, this is where we try to spiritualize our rebellion, right? We try to wrap it up all nice, looks good, right? Here, God, listen. He told the prophet Samuel that he saved the best sheep to sacrifice to the Lord. Wow, sounds amazing. Sounds super spiritual, right? God wasn't very impressed. Go to 1 Samuel 15. Let me show you something. We have to learn this lesson too. We have to learn this lesson. 1 Samuel 15, verse 15 through 21. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet! Ooh, the prophet was angry. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said to he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Ooh, underline that. And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? So Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which they have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Now, so here's the deal. Does the Lord have great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The answer to that question is obviously no. Listen to this. God takes great delight in you doing and obeying exactly what he told you to do. Nothing added to it and nothing taken away. Are you getting this? God, I'm telling you, God is a stickler on this. Amen? When God tells you to do something, you got to understand this. Don't ever forget this. When God tells you to do something, the only boundaries that are blessed for you are within those specific commands, those specific boundaries. Anything outside, you're looking for trouble because it was not pure obedience to the Lord. Ready? Ready? Let me drop this bomb on you. Ready for this? Partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience in the eyes of God. And that's clear from this account in here. There is not, I don't, do you, let's just bring it down to our level here. There is nothing more annoying than telling your children to do something, to go and do something, and they either don't do it, or they do it, and they do it their own way. Does that not tick anyone else off in here? Yes. Amen, sister. Right? Marianne says, can you do the dishes before I come home? And then I go do something else, and I try to, she comes home in a bad mood for lunch then, right? When I walk through the door, I wish I would see those dishes done. Ooh! Sorry, babe. I was stuck on YouTube watching aviation videos. I'm sorry. Sorry. You understand what I'm saying? When we ask someone to do something and they alter it, and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't tell you to do that. They took it upon themselves. Well, this is what God is saying. Amen? God knows, listen to this, God knows much more than us. He does not need our human wisdom to help him out. He'll help him out in anything. He's just saying, obey me. If I tell you to do something, just do it. Trust me. I know better than you. Amen? Now, verse 23. Let me read 22 and 23. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. That was a deal breaker for Saul. That cost him his leadership over Israel. God says this, if I'm going to anoint you for leadership, doggone it, you better listen to everything I'm going to say. And because you have proven you have rebellion in your heart, you're out of that leadership position. Are you following me? So, listen to this. So, again, partial obedience is disobedience. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Listen to this. Witchcraft is listed as a work of the flesh in Galatians 5. Is it not? All right, listen. Here's what witchcraft is. Are you ready? I'm not talking about the religion. I'm talking about the work of the flesh here. Witchcraft is an attempting to override the will of God and or override or manipulate the free will of a person. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. This is why rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Because here's why. They are both exerting their own free will above the will of God and over the will of another person. Rebellion, what's it defined as? Listen, rebellion is defined as this. The action or process of resisting authority or control. Rebellion in a biblical sense is resisting God's authority over your life. Are you getting it? Now listen to this. All right. Stubbornness. Is there anybody stubborn in here today? Look at this definition of stubbornness. I love this. Now pay attention. It's going to sound like a no-brainer in the beginning of the definition, but listen to the last part. Stubbornness is defined as having or showing dogged determination not to change one's attitude, position, or position on something. Here's where it gets fun. Are you ready? Especially in spite of good arguments or reason to do so. Did you get it? One more time, let me drop that. Having or showing dogged determination not to change one's attitude or position on something, especially in spite of good arguments or reason to do so. In other words, there's so much evidence here for you to shift to believe this thing, but man, I'm not changing. Now listen to this. Idolatry is defined as this: extreme admiration or love or reverence for something or someone. In other words, putting something above God. And listen, iniquity is a violation of the right or duty that mankind is under obligation to do. You could say it's sin, missing the mark. Iniquity, sin. You getting it? Now, we are commanded in Romans 12 to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to obey God. And that scripture says, hey, that's not even a tough thing. That's your reasonable service after what Jesus did for you. Are you getting it? So rebellion, witchcraft, stubbornness, idolatry, and iniquity are all fruit of this one thing, pride. The flesh, it's pride. Here's the deal. Pride rebels against the will of God, but humility willingly submits. Humility willingly submits, all right? In humility, there is no witchcraft. There is no manipulation. There is no control. The person willingly submits on their own free will. Amen? Now, listen to this. The Word of God says that God resists the proud. Okay, he resists the proud, but gives grace or unmerited favor to the humble. I want you to notice this, that if you resist the will of God, God resists you. You resist, God resists. You draw near to God, God draws near. Are you kind of seeing this? One action, God takes an action. You take an action, God does. Oh, it's so good. Now, I want you to notice that if you resist the will of God in your life, God will resist you. And here's the reason. Are you ready for this? The Holy Spirit blasted this into my spirit when I was writing this message. The reason for that is because you are breaking the end of your covenant with God. Covenant is a two-way street. Covenant, you do your part, God does his. When you reject the will of God in your life, guess what you're doing? You're breaking covenant. You're breaking that divine order. Are you getting it? Now, I know that's not shouting material, but it's true anyways. Amen? Jesus said it this way. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 23:12. Whosoever will exalt himself will be humbled. Whoever will humble himself will be exalted. It's proportional. You getting it? If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, under his authority, submit to his authority, he will raise you up. Amen? You can either try to exalt yourself and fail miserably, or you can humble yourself and watch God promote and bless you like never before. It's your choice. And the thing is, God honors your free will. God honors the free will so much, he'll let someone go to hell for eternity in the lake of fire. Chew on that one. That puts the responsibility, that really illuminates the fact, wow, I have responsibility for my own life. This blessing thing is just not automatic. I need to sow and reap good things in my life. Amen? Now, so we need to, I'm almost done. We need to continually be checking our heart and motives of why we are doing something. Why are you doing something, right? There must be a reverential fear or respect toward God. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Are you ready for this? There must be a fear to cross over into rebellion, witchcraft, and manipulation. Oh, you didn't catch it. The fear of the Lord. It's reverence him. But the Holy Spirit said this. That also means there needs to be a fear in your own life not to step outside of the boundaries of God. You getting it? There must be a fear of stepping outside of that blessing and protection zone. God desires simple, instant, and complete obedience to him. Now, listen. If you're in a wilderness season of that chastening or correction in your life from the Lord, here's what you need to do. Learn your lesson. Tell your Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I see it. I get it now. I understand what you're trying to show me. Repent for your disobedience and let's move on. Don't stay in a puddle of self-condemnation. Just get the lesson. That's it. Acknowledge your sin and mistakes, and let's move on with life. Now, the next points here are so important. You need to listen very closely to me. Do I have your attention as I bring this thing home? Look at Deuteronomy 8:10. Deuteronomy 8:10. Some of y'all thought I was going to be preaching on Mother's Day today, didn't you? Ha ha! Another curveball from Pastor James, right? Well, not everyone's a mother in here, so, you know, the Holy Ghost knows that. Now, Deuteronomy 8:10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the land which he has given you. After the Lord has blessed us, we are commanded to maintain a thankful heart. Say thankful heart. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Maintaining thankfulness in your heart will keep you humble and teachable in your life. This is what he said as well. Are you ready? Thankfulness is a pride blocker. Thankfulness is a pride blocker in your life. Because he said this. I said, why, Holy Ghost? He said, because it's impossible to be thankful and prideful at the same time. Go ahead and try it. You can't do it. Because you've got to be humble to be thankful. Thankfulness is a pride blocker. Don't ever forget that God can take away every blessing you're experiencing in your life right now. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what the word haughty means? It literally means arrogant. Arrogant. Anybody ever known of an arrogant person? Get ready. They're getting ready to fall. Hopefully they change. Amen? But if you are enjoying the blessings that God has given you and you desire to keep them, you better start being thankful to God for them. The quickest way to lose your blessings is not to be thankful. You can even bring it down into marriage problems. When the husband and wife stop being thankful for each other, it's a bad sign. Are you getting it? It's a bad sign. There's your marriage counseling for the day, all right? Now, here we go. When we are commanded not to forget God and break his commandments when experiencing prosperity. Deuteronomy 8:11 through 17, you can read it yourself again, but verse 17 is the key. One way to turn a blessing into a curse into your life is this. Are you ready? If you want to take a blessing and turn it into a curse, here's how you do it. You take credit for everything you have in your life. I've gotten this by the strength of my own hand. I've gotten all of this for me. Oh, really? Get ready, because your life is probably going to start to get a little empty then at that point. You're on the warning track. Amen? I want you to notice that something very powerful in that passage. It says, is this. Are you ready? God is not opposed to you and I being wealthy. Oh, dead religion. I just lost all dead religion people right there. Listen. God is not, if you read verses 11 through 17, God is saying, I'm the one that gave you power to get wealth. God is not opposed to his people being wealthy. He is opposed to one thing, you taking credit for it. That's what he's opposed to. And he's opposed to you turning it into an idol in your life, loving it more than him. Are you following me? So, wealth. Wealth is defined as this. Listen to this. As an abundance of valuable possessions or money. The point I want to make is wealth is not just financial. Are you getting it? Wealth is not just financial. It covers every area of your life. Listen, the very definition is valuable possessions or money. You got some valuable things in your life? It's part of your wealth. God is not opposed to us having nice things. Amen? Which leads me to my last point. We are commanded to remember that it is God that gives us the power to get wealth. I do want to look at verses 18 through 20 real quick to close this off. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So our Heavenly Father gives us power. He gives us a capacity. He gives us the anointing or spiritual strength. He gives us the blessing to get wealth. Hello? I didn't say everyone's going to be a millionaire. But I believe God wants us to have an abundance above our needs so we can be a blessing to other people. Are you getting it? You see the motive there? All right? He's given us that power in that he may, listen to this, this is interesting, that he may establish his covenant, not that he swore with you. Did you catch this? Listen to this. That he swore to our fathers. You know who he's talking about? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what this tells me? Tells me that through Jesus, that God is still fulfilling his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to us through faith in Christ. This tells me that God takes covenant very seriously. Did you follow that? God takes covenant so seriously that he's still fulfilling Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Christ to us. See, we got to learn a little bit something about our words to people and our promises to people. We need to keep our word. Amen? The Bible tells us that. If you're going to tell someone you're going to do something, you better live up to your end of the bargain. If you tell God, God, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life, you better live up to the end of your bargain. Are you following me? God, I'm going to give this money to the kingdom of God. Sorry, you better live up to your end of the bargain. Oh, that one goes well. That goes over real good with congregations, right? But listen to this. So the warning from God is this. Do not forget the Lord by serving other gods. God is warning us in this verse that if you're going to idolize something else and put something above God, he's saying that, that's a deal breaker. He's saying that is a covenant breaker. Say covenant breaker. And he's telling us this. It will block your blessing. It's probably not going to keep you out of heaven. Listen to me. It's probably not going to keep you out of heaven, but it's going to keep heaven from entering your life on this earth. Are you following me? And I want to end on this. Isaiah 1, 19 through 20, he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Church, we need to stay close to God. We need to remember and obey his commandments and live a victorious life on this earth. Don't ever forget, there are always blessings attached to obedience. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come forward. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Do not leave this building until you make him Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath. You don't know. You don't know. So if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, come on down and pray with one of our prayer team members. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, maybe you say, wow, Pastor, as you were preaching today, I'm one of those that I have not been holding up my end of the bargain with God. Yes, that's me going through the wilderness. I haven't learned my lesson. But today, the Holy Spirit illuminated that today I need to rededicate my life to him. If you want to rededicate your life to him, just come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism with speaking in other tongues, or maybe you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you never prayed in tongues, come on down. We want to help you with that. You need prayer for anything else, they'll hang around and pray with you. I do want to say, don't keep them too long. It is Mother's Day. Amen? All right. God bless you all. Visitors, thank you so much. We'll be in the back shaking your hands today.